Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. Blake Topmeyer with John Adams in the Knoxville News Sentinel. And we're talking Tennessee football recruiting on this edition of the podcast. And John, maybe a week or so ago, it seemed like Tennessee could finish with pretty quietly here to the recruiting period. You know, last year they finished with a bang by adding Darnell Wright, Henry Toa in the February signing period, which is the way I like to refer to him now, by the way. December signing period and February signing period. I think early signing and national signing is kind of not really reflective of what's going on.
Yeah, particularly the national signing. Uh-huh. Like, the first one is more prominent now, but it's not the national sign. The other one is just like...
No, the December one is totally stolen the thunder of National Signing Day. But here in the last week, it has gotten a little bit more interesting for Tennessee. Five-star running back Zachary Evans went on an official visit to Tennessee last weekend, and Tennessee is in the running for him. He, of course, signed a national letter of intent with Georgia in December for some reason that still hasn't been I haven't really seen anything reported on it. Georgia released him from his NLI. I don't really know why they would do that, but they did, and so he's back on the market, and Tennessee got a visit from him here last weekend and is in the running for what would be their first five-star in the class, according to 247 composite rankings, and it would be a really big deal here.
Yeah, I wrote a column a while back about how Tennessee, that's one thing it hasn't been able to do under Jeremy Pruitt so far. It hasn't been able to get that five-star offensive skill guy, wide receiver, quarterback, or running back. And a lot of times those guys gravitate toward the very elite programs, championship caliber. There's nothing typical about this guy's recruitment, though. I mean, that was bizarre enough. Just he signs a letter, it's almost like as though he said, "Wait, I didn't mean to sign it."
Yeah,
I don't know why I did. My bad. And said, "Okay, you don't have to live up to it," which I don't really understand with Georgia. Why wouldn't you hold the guy to his signature? Maybe there are other issues about him. And then, as I've read, and you know, he's got kind of a checkered senior season where he was suspended for a couple of games, then suspended for the state championship game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, three games in total his senior season he was suspended. And according to a report in the Houston Chronicle, the state championship suspension dealt with, like, cell phone usage before the game, which seems like a pretty strict rule from the coaching staff there that they're monitoring players' cell phone usage before the game. But hey, the rules are the rules, and he was suspended for the state championship three games in total. So yeah, that is kind of interesting, and you combine that with like what happened with his NLI. I mean, certainly I guess there would be some concerns there, but a five-star talent's a five-star talent, and for a team, you know, that doesn't have you know, a lot of five-star skill guys on this roster, Vol certainly would love to have him.
Oh, yeah, if he were a three-star running back, everybody would already crossed him off the list by now, so we don't need that.
Right.
And he did apologize for the state championship suspension. It was just kind of a youthful mistake.
Uh-huh.
And now, a few months later, he's matured, so I don't think there'll be a problem with that going forward, do you?
I feel like your tongue's in your cheek there, John.
Well, you know, it is something you need to think about. But again, a five-star running back, I mean, you gotta take a chance on that guy.
Yeah, the other school's in the running for Evans. I mean, Georgia still seems to be in the mix, even though he signed and was released from the Bulldogs. And then he's also taken official visits in addition to Tennessee. He's gone on official visits to Texas A&M, which would be his in-state school. He's from Houston. And then also LSU and Ole Miss. And you know, we were talking off air here that you know, from your perspective, Texas A&M would seem to make sense for him in state school and a program that you know could really use him there at running back.
Oh yeah, I mean A&M has got just about I think 20 of 22 starters are returning, and Isaiah Spiller, who was their leading rusher this past year, is a freshman, but doesn't really have that burst. I mean, if this guy's as good as the recruiting services say, he could probably win the starting job as a true freshman. But either way, they definitely need more running backs. They really short it. That's their biggest position of need right now. So close to home, that seemed like a natural. Jimbo Fisher has a great record of success. So They've got an experienced offensive line. One thing, though, I will say on Tennessee's behalf, I was reading a story about him way back, I think it was a year ago, and he was talking about what he was looking for in school. And one thing he was really adamant about, he wanted to go somewhere where they got some tough guys up front. Mm. He wants blocking power. And that's something that Tennessee can really sell now because of the transfer of Cade Mays from Georgia, the return of Trey Smith, preseason already making first-team preseason All-American teams for 2020, could be the best offensive lineman in the country. So that's an attraction there for Tennessee, and I think it speaks well of Tennessee that it even got in contention for this player because its success rate isn't that of Georgia's, certainly.
Yeah, you look at where Tennessee stands in the rankings right now as we record this in the 24/7 composite rankings. Tennessee's 16th overall, and it's kind of felt like that type of class, of one of those classes where you're like, yeah, it was okay. It was good in some spots. And the classic, well, they address some needs class. You know, that address some needs line, I feel like, is always used about classes that it's like, yeah, it was okay. Could have been better. It was okay. You know, a great home run class, you never say, well, they addressed some needs. You say, well, this was a home run class, you know?
Well, sure. You're really, when you say a home run class, I think you're talking about top five. Mm-hmm.
But Tennessee did, you know, getting a four-star quarterback in Harrison Bailey. He's rated a five-star in Rivals, but in the composite, he's a four-star quarterback. That was a big pickup. And overall, I do feel like this class so far, it's not been a bust of a class. It's been a fine class, but it hasn't been a great class. And if you could add Zach Evans and, you know, one more maybe four-star piece, maybe a Malachi Wideman, who's a four-star wide receiver who's committed to Florida State, but with their coaching change in the offseason, it's been he's taken a visit to Tennessee here this month, and certainly the Vols are in the mix for him. So, you know, if they could add an Evans and a Malachi Wideman, a four-star and five-star skill position players, I mean, the outlook for this class really starts to change, and I think then you're starting to think about maybe this is a great class.
But would it jump all the way to top 10, though? I wouldn't think so.
I don't know if it would, but I guess at that point I would worry less about the rankings and just think they added a big-time quarterback, they added a five-star running back, and they added, you know, a four-star wide receiver at the wire. And so, you know, even if it only jumps to, let's say, 11 or 12, for me, you know, my outlook on the class would change pretty significantly, I think, if they were able to add two pieces of that caliber.
Yeah, I go back to 10 years ago when Lane Kiffin came in here late in the recruiting cycle after the firing of Derek Dooley, and he comes in and he signed the number one running back in the country, Bryce Brown. And that was kind of shocking and great news for Tennessee. As it turned out, he didn't pan out. I mean, he was really kind of a bust, just kind of a weird deal. Played a little bit in the NFL. I mean, the guy had talent. There's no doubt about that, but there was just something not quite right about that. Didn't work out like Tennessee certainly would have hoped for, but I think it helps you from an image standpoint. When you get the number one running back or a number one quarterback, even if your class is 12th, 13th, or whatever.
Right.
You go head-to-head with Alabama and Oklahoma and Georgia or Florida, whoever, the top recruiting programs in the country, and you take a prize recruit like that, regardless of how it pans out, it's significant that you won that recruiting battle. So that, I think it would be a great get for Tennessee.
I agree. People look at where you end up in the final rankings, and that's probably what they look at first and foremost. But I think people also look at, how many five stars did you get? And yeah, did you get any number one ranked players at their position? So even if this wouldn't allow Tennessee to crack the top 10, and maybe, you know, maybe they don't, maybe they end up there 11 or 12 or something if they add these pieces. But even so, like you said, you know, they're adding a five star to the class. They're adding a number one ranked guy at a position. That does change the narrative, I think, some about your signing class.
Yeah, and it really brings up a point where I think recruiting services now, when they're talk about evaluating recruiting class, I think they should include transfers.
I do too. That's a flaw in the recruiting rankings because Tennessee obviously has added two transfers in this cycle. Cade Mays and I think it's Velus Jones. I'm going to have Velus to work on. Yeah, Velus, right?
Velus. Velus. Velus.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Jones from USC.
Call him Jones. He only needs one name. Yeah, I don't know that that's so significant. He really didn't do much at Southern California.
No, he's more of a return guy. But the Mays addition.
You're adding a former five-star player, and I think he's what you want in a four or five-star guy. He started quite a bit as a freshman on a really good offensive line for Georgia, and then I think he started just about the same way. They had a lot of depth on that offensive line.
One thing with Evans that's going to be interesting, I think, is you can only sign one NLI in a recruitment cycle. He can't sign another national letter of intent. You can only sign one. He signed with Georgia. He was released. So whoever he chooses, around National Signing Day, he can't sign with that school. He can verbally commit. He can sign a financial aid agreement. Financial aid agreement binds the school to the prospect. It doesn't bind the prospect to the school. And so he can commit to whoever he wants to in February, on National Signing Day next week. Doesn't mean he has to go to school there. He can change his mind any number of times between now and whenever he enrolls in school this summer. So I think that's something that, I'm not saying he'll do that, but given the fact that this is a guy that signed with Georgia and then was released from his NLI, who knows? It's been kind of a strange recruitment for him. So, yeah, he's going to presumably offer his verbal commitment to someone next week, but it doesn't mean he can't change his mind again because that he's not signing another NLI. But the other thing with that is I think it allows, I'd have to check on this, but I'm pretty sure it allows Tennessee to go beyond 25 guys in the class because Zachary Evans would not be signing an NLI. So I think they could sign two other guys and add Evans because he wouldn't be technically part of the signing class.
So if you go into enrollment, fall enrollment, I mean, he still could go somewhere else. He could show up on somebody, based on what you're saying, he could show up at Alabama, Georgia, LSU.
There would be nothing that binds him to Tennessee because he cannot sign an NLI with Tennessee or anyone from this matter. He's signed his NLI. He signed it with Georgia. Georgia released him from it. He can't sign another NLI in this recruiting cycle.
I like the way you say NLI so easily. I mean, everybody knows what it is.
National letter of intent.
I know, but I tell you what, if he does commit to Tennessee or whomever he commits to, you better promise him you're not going to mess with his cell phone.
Yeah.
Say, hey, buddy, stay on social media, make all the calls you want, text up a storm. Mm-hmm. That cell phone's your business, and we're not messing with it.
Do some TikTok videos in the locker room before the game.
Yeah.
You can
text while you're running.
Yeah, you can ask Brian Maurer for some social media tips.
Carry the ball in one arm and text in the other.
Maybe that should be their closing pitch, Great salespeople. You gotta have that ability to close. You got to be able to pull something out of your back pocket there, that closing pitch. Maybe that's the Vols' closing pitch. You come to Tennessee, we'll let you tweet from the locker room at halftime, do these boomerang videos if those things still exist, TikToks, do whatever you want during the game.
I think you frame it with, we like multitaskers. If you can run the ball and text at the same time, we're good with that.
How much of the jury is still out on Jeremy Pruitt, do you think, as a recruiter? When he came here, he had a really good reputation as a recruiter, and I don't think he's tarnished that in his time at Tennessee, but I also don't know that he's enhanced it either. For me, I still am kind of in wait-and-see mode as to whether Pruitt can recruit at the level that it's going to take to get Tennessee being mentioned in the same breath with the who's who of the SEC.
Well, in fact, Butch Jones out-recruited him, if you look at how Butch started out. However, I will say that the way he closed last season, and I know you were joking about position of need, but Tennessee really needed offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes out and gets two of the best in the country. So I was impressed with that. I just think it's fair to say he came in here with a really good reputation as a recruiter, and that hasn't changed. He still has a good reputation. At some point, yeah, he probably needs to have a top 10 class, because you look at the competition. I mean, can you imagine the reaction in Tuscaloosa if Nick Saban had the 13th ranked class in the country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People would be jumping off bridges.
Bridges in Tuscaloosa?
Over the, what is it, the Black Warrior River, I think. Okay. You could find a bridge there. I don't know if it would be high enough to severely injure yourself with a fall.
More like a cannonball into the river.
Good luck with that. You don't want to, that's not something you want to do halfway. Could be a lot of suffering in that. But Georgia, the same way. I mean, fans of Georgia are already upset that Kirby hadn't won a national championship. And if he doesn't bring in a top five class, that would be, you know, cause for widespread panic.
I mentioned Evans and Weidman. Maybe I've already mentioned him and just blanking out. I think the other guy worth mentioning, I don't believe I've talked about him yet, is D. Beckwith, is the other guy that's really, you know, Tennessee fans should watch on signing day. He's a three-star athlete out of Alabama. He's taken visits to Tennessee, took a visit to Florida, and projects as a tight end. Tennessee didn't sign any tight ends in December. So he's the other guy that you know, really is worth watching on signing day. But of these three, Evans, Weidman, and Beckwith, you know, I feel like if Tennessee could get two out of three, you think, okay, that's a good close. If one of those two happens to be Evans, you could call that a really good close. I mean, adding a five-star at the horn, assuming he actually shows up this summer, that's a big deal.
Well, I really think if they just get Evans, mm-hmm. it's a big deal. And from a fan's perspective, those other names will be quickly forgotten. I do think, and I mentioned Bryce Brown not panning out, a five-star running back, considered the best at his position, not panning out and really in 2009 as expected. But I think usually, don't you feel like a really good running back, I think it's easier to project than a quarterback maybe or some other positions?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, these five-star quarterbacks generally seem to hit at a pretty high level, it feels like. But
I always think of Blake Barnett. I mean, he ended up playing. I mean, but he was like the guy.
Yeah.
Goes to Alabama, loses his job. He goes to South Florida and just got worse every time I saw him. I don't know what happened. Every guy was mobile, had a good arm, so who knows. But, yeah, and I think, but when you're talking about maybe offensive linemen or defensive guys, it may be that. Usually you'd like to think, I don't know what the percentage would be. What would you say the percentage is of a five-star?
In terms of like...
Is he going to make... I think if you get a five-star, you expect him to be an all-conference player. I think if he doesn't make all-conference, he didn't reach expectations.
I really have no idea what the percentage of that would be.
I know.
I think it's probably pretty high.
You could have thrown out a percentage.
I could
have. Nobody would have questioned that.
Well... How? It might have damaged my reputation doing that, John. I don't know if it can take any more damage.
I don't think it would affect you.
All right. Well, I really like your idea, John, of letting the cell phone usage be kind of a big swaying factor in closing the deal with Zach Evans.
In fact, you meet with him one-on-one. You're mm-hmm. trying to close it. You're both in the same room. Call him on your cell phone.
Kids don't call anymore. Maybe text him.
But the
send him a Snapchat.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. All right, National Signing Day will be on Wednesday, and the Vols will look to add a couple pieces, and maybe Zachary Evans will be among them, although he won't be signing a national letter of intent. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State. Hi, I'm Blake Topmeyer, and I cover UT football for Knox News. I'm impressed by the passion this fan base has for the Vols, and I enjoy bringing you analysis of the team you love. It's also my job to hold coaches and administrators accountable for their decisions. Vols fans deserve that type of coverage. And nothing beats a fall Saturday in an SEC stadium. The support of Knox News allows me to do this rewarding sports journalism. If you want to hear more stories like this, consider becoming a subscriber and go to knoxnews.com/subscribe. Thank you for listening.